of human personality. And it's neat to see that in the Bible we can find something that, you know, that there can be a pretty in-depth study about each of our personalities, you know, and why we are the way we are and things like that. So I think it's kind of fun. I always enjoy teaching this. So we're on part four of using our gifts and talents. And we started this study off by going through the parable of the talents, right? We talked about how the master came and he left his servants with talents. Some of them got more talents than others, but what he expected them to do was to use the talents that he had given him for his benefit, if that makes sense, for the furthering of his purpose, right? And if we apply that to us, you can think of it as a furthering the kingdom of the Lord, right? And after each one of the servants used their talents, you know, in a productive way, what happened? Well, he praised them, if that makes sense. He blessed them. But for the servant that took the talent, hid it in the ground, and didn't do anything with it, you know, what did he say? That servant was punished, right? That was very displeasing to the master there. And then after that, we talk about, you know, why the Lord makes us each way. You know, we talk about being fearfully and wonderfully made. Then last week, we actually started on the different talent giftings that we see in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to continue there today, here in Romans chapter 12. And we'll just kind of read over them real quick again. And let's start Romans chapter 12. Let's look at start at verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Right? And one of the ways that I was kind of putting this out there as far as showing how each one of these personalities act on a basic level, I was using somebody was walking across here in front and they tripped over this cord here. Right? And we'll start back over at the very beginning. The prophet here, we see the first one, the prophet's the truth teller. Right, the type of personality that he sees truth or he sees a problem, they want to fix it almost immediately. Right, so this person comes up and they trip and fall over the cord. That personality, the prophet personality, would stand up and they would say something like, you know, well, watch where you're going. Pick your feet up when you walk. Right, or you know, who put that cord there? Why isn't that cord taped down? Right, you know, that's kind of their first inkling. Their first inkling is not for the person that fell. As funny as that sounds, right? But it's more of the problem. What caused this problem? What caused this injury? The next one we see here is the ministry, right? That's basically the servant, right? The worker, the workhorse we call them sometimes in different circles. You call them the person that just works. They find so much value in working. They want to work their heads off. They work at everything, right? That's just how they are. And how that person applies here is, let's say the person trips and they fall. Sometimes they might not know what to do right away. They might wait for instruction. Well, hey, hang on, you know, what can I do to help? Maybe that's their first words that come out of their mouth, right? Maybe somebody stood up, which would be the administrator. I'll talk about that in a second. They would say, well, hey, go get a chair so that we can get this person up, sit them in the chair. Well, the servant is the first person. I'll get it. Let me go grab and get that chair real quick, right? So that's what the minister will do. They're kind of just, they're waiting for action, right? And they do well when somebody's telling them what to do. The next one there, we got ministry, prophecy, ministry. He who teaches. We talked about the teacher being the person that enjoys knowledge. They enjoy details and they love to share those details, right? That was the teacher. That's kind of self-explanatory. The exhorter is the encourager, right? Oh, well, back to the tripping person. The teacher is going to be the one that tries to tell everybody. Now the reason he fell is because of this. So maybe, you know, they try to give an instruction on walking. Maybe when you walk, it'd be better to pick your feet up a little bit more when you're walking over this, you know. So that's the teacher. That's kind of how they think. And then lastly, what we talked about last week was the encourager, right? The person fell down. The encourager would say something positive. Like, well, at least you didn't break anything, right? At least you look good falling down or, you know, all kinds of stuff. They will find something positive out of every negative situation. You know, the encourager, they're the life of the party. You get a group of people around, the encourager sometimes is the loudest person there. Right, they try to pull joy from everybody. You know, that's what the exhorter is. Now we're going to move on to the next one today, as the giver, right? The person that gives. And like I've told you when we first started this, my two giftings is the prophet. I tend to be the truth teller. I have to be careful about telling the truth too bluntly, and I just that's just a weakness of that, is not caring as much about people's feelings when it comes to the truth. Right? That's my personality. The other one that I carry strongly is the giving side. Angel will tell you, I enjoy giving. That's just something that brings me joy. I embody, if you will, that givers will embody that verse of the Bible that says it's more blessed than to give than to receive. Right? There's been times when I would say, hey, you know, we should give a love offering to somebody. Let's say, you know, they pass, a missionary comes through, a love offering plate goes around, and I'm thinking, how much should we give? Angela, being the frugal mind, she would say, all right, you know, we'll give this much. And at my mind is thinking, literally, I mean, sometimes 10 times beyond that. Forget that. If we're going to bless somebody, I like to be the person that's blessed, that they're not just, oh, thank you for that, but just, I mean, eye-opening, like my shoes fell off and I didn't even notice because this blessing was so great. You know, that kind of personality, you just love giving. I'm not patting myself on the back, but this is the other, you know, gift, if you want to get to know myself, right? The other part that the Lord's given me, you know, what I really enjoy doing, you know, giving. If somebody needs something, you know, if somebody needs a new pair of shoes and they're praying about it, let's say, and you know, thank the Lord, you know, the Lord provided some money to go get my kids some shoes. And my first thought is, well, that's great. What kind of shoes do they get, right? Let me see them. Well, we can do better than that with my help. Let's give them something that they never, ever thought they'd be able to afford before. You know, that's just that kind of mentality. That's the giver right there. And how the giver fits into this, our scenario of someone, I think I was using Carol, the one that tripped, right? We can keep using Carol. He's not here today. But that's okay. It'll be all right. But Carol, you know, Carol tripped. What's the giver do? Let's say Carol was walking, and once he fell over the cord here, his hymnal went flying. You ever see those people, they fall and they just throw their hands up? Well, Carol's hymnal went flying, and it went all the way across the room, far enough to where he can't even get to it. Well, what's the giver do? Here, take my hymnal. It's okay. I'll go grab the other one, right? Or anything. You know, if a shoe fell off, right? You know, take my shoes. Or somebody mentions, you know, you should get some better soles on your shoes. The giver say, hey, I've got some in my barn. I'll go get you some better insoles. You know, I don't know why they'd be in this barn. But either way, they're looking always for a way to give something. You know, give something. You know, you don't have a watch here? Take my watch. I don't use it that much anyway. You know, that's the kind of giver personality. Now, weaknesses of a giver. Now, we always talk about the weaknesses of each one of these gifts, because you don't want to think just because you are this way, it gives you justification to carry on the weak sides of it, right? Just because I enjoy telling the truth doesn't mean I should do it without grace and love. You can't be that way. That's what, you know, that's not how we're called. But to each one of these gifts, there has to be a balance to it, right? So we get to the giver, right? What's the weaknesses of the giver? Givers have a soft spot, right? What is that soft spot, right? The weaknesses of a giver is, let's say Carol's hymnal went flying, right? And let's say Carol had one of the brand new hymnals, right? He even put his name on it. You know, he got one of the brand new ones. He wants this brand new one, right? So the giver, let's say the giver's hymnal was one that was a lot more used. And when he goes, or he or she goes to offer that to Carol, Carol's like, oh, that's okay. I've got a newer one. It's a little bit better than that. What happens with the giver? They got that soft spot that if their gift wasn't received, that hurts them pretty deeply, right? And it might not seem like it. It might seem kind of silly, you know, that somebody would get hurt over something like that. But the giver, what they do is they don't just give something like, here, take this water, right? There's more to it than that. They actually put some emotion into it. They tie some feeling into it, you know, of you know, when they give this water, let's say to somebody that's not a giver, to them it's just water. Well, thanks, you know, I got something to drink now. But for the giver, that was not just an act of giving him water. That was a show of love. They put some feeling into that, right? There was some motivation into it. Right, so when that gift for the giver was knocked out of the way or not taken seriously, that giver can get hurt, right? And what can that cause them to do? One, it can cause them to hold a little grudge, if you will. I'm never giving to that person again. You know, he didn't like my gift of my hymnal. He didn't want my hymnal. Fine, I'm not going to give him something ever again, right? And that's a weakness to that side, because again, as somebody that understands that gift, man, when somebody doesn't receive something, I've learned, thank the Lord, that if somebody doesn't want or need something and they don't want it, then just okay, you know, back off, that's fine. You know, they don't need it. But there's always going to be that side of me that kind of gets hurt. If somebody doesn't want something that I've given them, it's always like, well, geez, you know, I went to all that effort, and it might not have been much effort, but emotionally there was effort tied to it, right? I went to all that effort, and they didn't want it. You know, now I'm not giving them something ever again, right? But that's that weak side, if you will, to that gifting. Another thing that can happen with the giver is they can be over-giving, right? Excuse me real quick. They can be that person that they can give so much that it can make others feel uncomfortable. I know we've all seen that of you know, well, I can't take that gift. That's just too much, right? And there is generally people that feel that way, that if the gift is too big, they feel it makes them feel uncomfortable. But to the giver, no gift is too big, right? But so a giver has to be careful of that they don't make others feel uncomfortable with too much giving, if you will, that the gift is not too extraordinary or you're not giving too much gifts. Right? If you're just that person that starts giving like crazy and you're just flooding the person, you know, they can only have so many pairs of socks. You know, you've been giving 12 pairs last week. You don't need to give them another 12 pair, you know, this week, right? So they have to be careful. They just have to pull it close, if you will, to keep that balance, right? So again, that weakness of the giver, that's kind of funny because it might not sound like much of a weakness, but if you're that person that you know, I don't know, some people have been offended by gifts before, I know. There was a time in South Carolina, I come up with an idea that I think it was the anniversary of the pastor there or something, I can't remember what it was. But I came up with this idea of, hey, let's do something real special for him. I can't remember what I said. It was some kind of a book or something. I thought it'd be fun to have everybody in church sign it and kind of make like a little like a pedestal or something, you know, where they can keep it, you know, and keep it in their house. And I was like, that seems like a pretty good gift. It doesn't seem like it's too extraordinary. But then one of the deacons of the church at this time, he came down on me and said, we don't do that kind of stuff here at the church because I would, whatever reason it was, I can't remember. But, you know, I kind of felt hurt by it. Like, good night, you know what? But to him, it was offensive for whatever reason. I don't know, right? But anyway, like I said, I givers have to be careful that they don't, they're not too overbearing, right? A good balancing verse for the giver is Matthew 7:6, and I wrote it down here. And it says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. And what that means is there's some people that don't deserve the gift that you give, right? And what does that mean? That in your giving, you're not just to give without consulting the Lord first. That's kind of the point that's making, right? That's one thing I learned. I gave something one time to somebody and I saw them, they took what I had and they went and bought something they shouldn't buy with it, right? Before I knew it, they was out there, I don't know, whatever, use your imagination, but they bought something they weren't supposed to buy. And I'm thinking, they took what I gave them, you know, with good intentions. And they, you know, so what I made a point of, before I give every time now, I said, Lord, if you want me to give, you put it on my heart, right, in a way that I can't stop thinking about it. That's kind of my prayer with it. If I keep thinking about it, Lord, then I want to take it as a sign from you that I'm meant to give whatever this is, right? So that's kind of how I approach it now. But the balancing verse for givers, hey, just because you love to give doesn't mean you have to give everything to everybody all the time. You know, it might not be the Lord's will. Right, so something to think about. Right, next one here, we got the leader. Right, next in the verse it says, he who exhorts gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. Right, who's the leader? Right, basically what the leader is somebody that's administrative, an administrator. One thing I've been very surprised about here in our church is I feel like we've got a lot of administrators here in the church. And it's kind of, in a way, it can be scary in a way, in a good way. Right? Because that means ducks are in a row. It doesn't matter what's going on. Ducks are going to be in a row no matter what. Right? And that's a good thing. But for somebody that doesn't plan very much, it can be kind of intimidating at certain levels. Right? Thankfully, I've gotten used to it over the years with my wife. But initially, when I first met my wife, I was like, my goodness, she plans everything. I'm good to look at a plan for the day and be done with it. But here she is. She's got her weeks planned out. Right? She's got her calendar for months in advance, down to the hour almost of what's going to happen that day. Right? That's your administrators. That's your leaders. Now, why do they call them? Why is that a leader? What are they leading? Just because it says it's a leader here doesn't mean it's always necessary. Doesn't mean they're always in a leadership position. What that means is they're kind of always at the forefront of a plan, let's say. At the forefront, let's say the picnic coming up, right? We got or the picnic or the ladies thing coming up, and Diane's in charge of that, right? She's the one putting all that together. But one of the things that, let's say that there's another administrator in that group that's helping her with that, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's right there in front, right, that leader, but what it does mean is that they might be up there helping with the planning, right? Before the action takes place, the administrators like to be in the front of knowing what's going to happen. How is it going to happen? What time is it going to happen? What are we going to eat? What are we going to, I don't know, you know, all the details that you can think of, right? So the administrators, the leaders, they're blessings, right? I mean, it's a huge blessing to be able to plan out months in advance. They like to to know what's going to happen. Now, the example of our leader here in this tripping scenario, Carol tripped over, prophet told him to pick his feet up, right? Everybody's given their little bit of advice, you know, because Carol fell down. What's the administrator do? The administrator just doesn't see one problem, right? They might hear the problems voiced out. The leader might have heard the prophet say, you know, pick your feet up next time you walk, right? What the leader starts doing, they start formulating a plan almost as soon as that problem came up, right? So they see, they get up here, they rush to the front, they see Carol on the ground. They don't rush to pick him up, right? What they do, they start looking for the problems, right? The prophet pointed out that why is that cord not taped down? He might have said it under his breath, or he might have said it to a person over here. But what the leader says, hey, so-and-so, get some tape so we can tape that down, right? There's the leader coming out, the administrator. So-and-so, you know, he threw his hymnal. Hey, grab a hymnal for him if the giver wasn't right, you know, right up here in the front. You know, so-and-so, go call the ambulance. They're getting everything going, right? Ducks in a row. They've got the plan thought out so quickly that, man, it, all of a sudden now it's in motion. So somebody, I've already got somebody calling the ambulance because let's say Carol got hurt. Somebody's getting him some water. Somebody go get a chair so we can pick Carol up and put him in this chair over here. Drag that chair a little bit closer. You know, they're thinking about all the actions. That's what the leader comes in, right? Now, the weaknesses of a leader, and I'm pretty familiar with these. Sometimes they can be just like the servant. They will work themselves to death if they're not careful, right? They will go like crazy to get all their plans. They will stay up to the craziest hours of the morning, just planning everything, right? Plans got to be just right. They might go to sleep thinking that their list is done and that there's something in their mind that's not sitting right. They're sitting there in bed thinking like, there's something wrong with my plan. I just can't think about what it is. So they're sitting there. 2 o'clock in the morning rolls around. Man, they pop up. I figured it out. Here they go. Running to fix their plan. You know, there it is. Right there. So some weaknesses that they might not sleep very much, right? Their mind is constantly rolling. For me, if I can get in that mode, if that makes sense, but I get tired of it. Man, I get exhausted. I get tired. Bedtime rolls around. Thank goodness it's bedtime. I can go to sleep. Right? The administrator, that leader, they're always thinking about how to just make something better. Right? The leader might be that person that loves to organize. They like to set things in let's say the library is out of order. Right? They might walk in there and see that something's out of alphabetical order, and they'll pull it and they'll put it in some other place. Right? The organizer. That's another thing the leader is. Somebody that organizes. I used to have a buddy in the military that he was OCD to the point that if he saw something out of place, he would go fix it, right? And he was a funny guy, that Sicilian, I think I've told some of y'all about, that Sicilian crazy guy that, you know, real good friend of mine. And but he would come over and be like, hey, DeCaro, you know, come on over. We're going to watch some movies after work, right? All right, I'm coming over. But little did he know, I had a plan in the back of my head that in a day or two, we had a room inspection. And if I didn't feel like cleaning, I just invited DeCaro over to watch movies, right? And he would start cleaning without anybody saying anything. He would clean. He would clean like crazy. It was not even like dust. There was no dust anywhere, right? It's my own room, and I felt like I had to take my shoes off when I came in the little barracks room. But I'd call him over, and he wouldn't even know it. He'd start going through my drawers and folding all my socks and everything just perfect, you know. And I'd open my sock drawer, and there it is, you know, socks lined up this way, all rolled to exactly about 6 inches wide, you know. And that's what he would do. T-shirts the same way. I mean, what else did I? We used to have to pack, you know, before we go to the field, we pack a big old duffel bag. And they would tell us to put 10 times the amount of stuff in that duffel bag than any normal person could fit in there. I don't know how we did it. So I'd get it all packed up and invite DeCaro over for some movies. He'd look at my duffel bag and that's kind of out of shape, you know, and he'd open that thing up. He'd start going through it piece by piece. And he would start refolding everything and putting it in there so everything would fit. And it was just so funny, you know. But, you know, he helped me through a lot of room inspections. You know, it's pretty funny. But, you know, he was that extreme version of the organizer, that leader, right? That administrative mind, right? So, but again, the weaknesses of that, a leader, what they can do, they can be very overbearing to people. They can tell, they can get bossy without knowing it, right? They can start telling people what to do because that's in their nature. And if they're not careful, they start giving out so many things to do that nobody can keep up. But their mind is keeping up somehow. But man, you got people trying to keep up. The servant's over here working his butt off and he's getting discouraged because his gifting is to serve, and now he's not doing it well enough because he can't keep up with what the administrator's telling him to do. So the servant over here is getting discouraged. The prophet's done hung up his coat and said, this is ridiculous. I'm leaving. I'm going to bed, right? So if the administrator, the leader's not careful, they have to do things in a way that's not overbearing, right? Also, it's hard sometimes for administrators to receive criticism, right, or advice because their way's the best. Right, I've already got this plan thought out. I don't need any other input, right? But administrators have to be careful that they don't get too proud to where they don't like to receive advice, right? Sometimes that advice can come from the oddest places, but you know, with tons of wisdom. So administrators, that's the administrator, right? Another thing, administrators, they get bored if there's no new challenges. There's no new challenges, they can get bored, right? Or they can get very frustrated if their directions aren't carried out to a T, right? So that's the weaknesses there. A good balancing verse, for administrators is any verse with grace and patience in it. All right? So give grace and be patient. All right? That's for your administrators. Now, lastly, we get here, it says, he who leads, that's our administrator, lead with diligence. That means if you're going to put a plan in place, be diligent. You know, be diligent with it. That basically means I'm trying to think of a good word for it. What's a good word for it? Be diligent. Be, goodness, my brain's hit a roadblock here. Just, if you're going to carry out a plan, make sure you're part of it every step of the way. Basically, kind of what that means. Don't just throw a plan out there, and then if the plan falls apart and you weren't there to help oversee it, don't get mad, if that makes sense. Be diligent. See it through. See it through to the end. Don't quit halfway through because you're tired. You know, see that thing all the way through to the end, right? So that's kind of what that, you know, be diligent with it. And then lastly here, it says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Sometimes the mercy people are those, okay, Carol's come up here, he's fallen down. Mercy people are like two sides of the same coin with the prophet, right? They're like almost exact opposites. They're all about feelings. Mercy, they feel everything. Everything's feelings. The person came up here, they fell down. What's the first? They don't care about the hymnal that went flying across the room. They don't care about the cord in the ground. What is the first thing they think about? The first person they think about, they're probably the person you heard gasp in the crowd. Someone's fallen, right? They're already feeling that pain of the person that fell down. They're running up here. They might have Band-Aids in the purse, ready for action, you know, on a holster. Band-Aids, anything like that. You know, Tylenol. Anybody's hurting? I've got some Tylenol. They see Carol fall down. They're looking for scrapes and bruises. Are you okay? All right? That's the person you really want there. Because they're the person that checks on the well-being of the person that fell down first, right? They're saying, hey, Carol, is everything okay? Did you hurt yourself? You know, do you got any scrapes or bruises or anything like that? You know, they feel for people. The mercy people, they hear about the fires in California, people losing their home, and man, that makes them sad. Man, they're really praying for those people. They feel really bad about that. The floods that happened down in Texas a while back, they feel for those people. The mercy people, they carry the weight of the world on their shoulders because they hurt for everybody. They hear about hurt, man, they hurt for them also. They're good sympathizers. They can sympathize with anyone. Anybody that's got any kind of problems, man, they're there. Oh, man, that's just horrible. You know, that's how the mercy people think. Like I said, the very opposite of the prophet. They cry easily in movies, right? My dad's a big mercy guy, and he will cry at the drop of a hat. I think it's funny. Me and my sisters used to make fun of dad because there was this old goofy movie called Where Pigeons Go to Die. Anybody heard of that movie? Right? And it's as depressive as it sounds, I'm telling you. Well, for some reason, my dad one time thought it'd be a good idea to bring this home to the kids. Let's watch this movie, kids. You know, I got it from the library, and let's watch it. My dad cried through that whole stinking movie because of a pigeon, you know, carrying his messages everywhere. He cried over everything. Now, don't make fun of my dad. He's, you know, when he comes to visit, you know, he's always talking about coming down to visit. But hey, he cries at the drop of a hat and crying about everything. He hears about somebody that was hurt real bad in a car accident. You might, before the sentence is even finished, you might see tears, you know, forming, you know, and he has to control that. You know, but he just feels hurt for everybody out there. Like I said, they carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. They don't like seeing people in pain. And not only do they care about people's physical pain, like I said, Carol fell down, you know, he might be embarrassed. They care about their emotional pain also. They don't just see that, oh, I got a Band-Aid on it, he's good, you know, go off and run, you know, keep going, Carol, you know, walk it off, right? Mercy person, well, are you okay? You know, and they're trying to also assess that they're psychologically okay. You know, they're trying to see that they don't feel bad, you know, and trying to pick them up a little bit. So that's your mercy person, right? But now the weaknesses of mercy is they can get easily depressed. They can be very depressed. You know, the weight of the world, they internalize everything. Why? Because their problems are too small compared to everybody else's, right? If you need a person that will listen to you, if you need somebody to dump your problems on, there's the mercy person. But guess what? The mercy people, they have a hard time expressing sometimes their own feelings. They internalize everything. They carry everything inside. And sometimes they just blow up, you know? And they'll just start crying at the drop of a hat. You know, mercy people have to learn to also share burdens. They don't have to be the only person carrying everything, right? They're easily offended. Your mercy folk, I'll tell you what. I say this for me because it's always been in the forefront of my mind. But you have to be very merciful. They're like a flower, if that makes sense. You got to be very careful with them. They can get hurt very easily. But at the same time, they get hurt easily, but they exhibit the most care. That kind of makes sense what I'm talking about. It's a way I think because I can tend to be very harsh many times with comments or not think about feelings. right? But thankfully, my wife is always there to remind me, you always have to be, you know, there might be somebody out there that's got that gift of mercy, you know, and nobody else got their feelings hurt except that one person, right? You have to be very careful with them sometimes. All right, they're easily offended. So, like I said, that's a weakness. Sometimes mercy got to thicken up your skin. It's common to see somebody that's a mercy person. Let's say they had a close relative die, right? And they're the ones that are supposed to be the ones hurting. And you see the mercy person going around the room comforting everybody else. And you're kind of like, hey, hang on. Aren't you the one that's supposed to be, aren't we supposed to be coming to comfort you? You know, and here you are trying to comfort us, right? Mercy people, they have to understand that sometimes it's okay to be comforted. Right, to receive the comfort. Sometimes it's okay to let others come and put their arm around you and pray with you. You know, they don't have to carry the world on their shoulders. Like I said, they can self-destruct if they don't control their feelings. They can hold grudges for years. Mercy people are good at holding grudges. Right, that's that weakness side. If you hurt a mercy person, be prepared to need to ask forgiveness with complete sincerity 70 times 7. Just like Jesus, you know, Peter said, "How many times have I got to ask forgiveness?" You know, he asked him Jesus. And Jesus said 70 times 7, right? So be prepared. If you hurt a mercy person's feelings, get ready. Get ready for it. You know, ask forgiveness. Make sure they're okay. You know, pull that out of them, right? So we've talked about all the giftings. You know, that's all of them so far. We got the prophet, the minister, which is the worker. We got the teachers that love details and sharing knowledge. The encouragers, the life of the party. The givers, which is kind of common sense there. They love to give. The leaders, your administrators, your organizers, and then your mercy folk. Those that just hurt. It hurt, you know, they carry everyone's hurt. All right, so next week, right, we're going to have homework next week, just kind of for fun. But next week, I'm going to bring in like a little worksheet, right? It's kind of one of those assessments to help you figure out, what is my gift? I don't know what my gift is. Sometimes I'm like this, and sometimes I'm like this. Now, one thing I will say, I'll bring this in next week, and it only takes about 5 minutes, but I'll ask the Sunday school teachers ahead of time, in case any of y'all are administrators, right, give you time to plan for it. But I'd like to give those out as everybody's going to Sunday school, and maybe they can fill it out while they're in Sunday school. And then the goal also is to get some name tags, right? So once you figure out what your giftings are, you can put it on your name tag, right? So I already know some of y'all, so it's not a mystery to me. But some of y'all that haven't thought so much this way, it'd be interesting to find out, really, so-and-so's that way? I didn't think that. But you know, one of those things is our society sometimes, living in the society that we live in, we get used to being a certain way that might not necessarily be natural to us. Right, so something to think about. So you might see somebody that's got, you know, you're a prophet and mercy at the same time. How does that even work? I don't know, honestly. But let's say that's it. So it might give you some insight into how that person thinks or how they actually are. Right, and you can, it's just one way for us to get to know one another better. So we'll do that next week. I think it'll be fun. Men generally have two strong gifts. They might score strongly on this little sheet that I'll show you, and then like really weak in everything else. And you might think, man, there's something wrong with me. You know, well, there's not. That's just who you are. Women sometimes and many times will have three. I'm competitive, so when I saw my wife had three one time, I was like, hey, did I do this wrong? Maybe I should have four. You know, and my wife's got three. I only had two. All right, but that's generally how it is. Now, another thing too is sometimes just because you are strong, let's say myself, strong in profit and giving, that doesn't mean I can't learn to be an encourager. Does that make sense? That doesn't mean I can't learn to be more merciful or learn to organize. Right, that's no excuse to forego those things, right? But at the same time, let's say, I mean, you can learn to be other things. That's not that's just because you are a certain way doesn't mean you have to stay that way, right? We need to appreciate the gifts that God's given us, right? We're all different. We all can sing a different tune. We all can, you know, have different strengths and weaknesses. Not everybody's going to see things the way that you see them. Just because that you value truth over feelings doesn't mean there's something wrong with that person. Just because they don't give as much as you do doesn't mean you're more holier than they are, right? So, but everybody's created in the way that God would have them to be. See what else I put here. Paul thought this would be a problem, right? Here in the book of Romans. Before he even talked about the giftings, what did he say? He said, we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, let us use them. So before he even talked about the gifts, he tried to let you all know that, hey, we're all different. Just let you know ahead of time, you know, we're all different. We're all going to be just a little bit different, all right? Work to one another's benefits. If you know somebody's a mercy person out there, we find that out next week, hey, don't be so overbearing with them. You know, change your tune a little bit when you go talk to them. Don't start calling people names, because you might think you're not offending them, but that mercy person, they'll internalize it, right? Just an example. And then by this, as we learn to work together one with another and learn how to work to each other's strengths, guess what happens, right? We show the world that we're the children of God. How? By showing that we love one another. We can become more sensitive to how each one of us are. We start working together, right? We don't just think our way is the best way and we just carry on with it. We start taking everybody else into account also in their strengths and weaknesses. And by that, we also show love one to another, right? And what does the Bible say in John 13:35? It says that Jesus says that the world, I'm going to paraphrase it, but the world's going to know us by the love that we show one with another. People should be able to come to church and be like, man, everybody works so well together. Everybody's always so happy, you know? And if people need help, you know, that we got a good support system, right? We support one another. That all those gifts, all those things should be fulfilled in a church. And guess what? If there's a piece lacking in the church, there's one of two problems. Either the Lord's about to bring somebody to fill in that space, right? Because all these gifts are needed. Or there's a person out there that's not using their gift like they should, right? So when God puts something on your heart, and I'm a big believer in this, pursue it until God puts a roadblock in your way, right? Make sure it's not a selfish ambition, if you will, or selfish desire. But if the Lord puts it in your heart to say, you know, I saw so-and-so, let's say it's a prophet. They saw so-and-so doing something last week they shouldn't do, right? And what's their first inkling? I don't know if I should say anything, you know, but guess what? If the Lord puts it on your heart, start rolling forward with it. Maybe get advice first. That's always a good, don't dive head first and get yourself in trouble. But at the same time, you know, approach things cautiously, but at the same time, use your gifts. A mercy person might be sitting there in the crowd and they might not have heard almost anything I've said this morning, but they look up here in the choir and they, you know, so-and-so just doesn't look like they're doing well today, right? Guess what? God's put that on your heart for a reason. Just go up to them and say, hey, I'm praying for you, just let you know, right? But that's how those gifts in here, they start working, right? They start working together. God will put it on your heart and how to use these things best, okay? Well, let's go ahead and pray. And that's it for part four. We'll talk next week about, like I said, we'll do the assessment next week for fun. And then maybe next week we'll also talk about different people in the Bible that carry each one of these giftings.